can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by the wonderful Ariane.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we are talking about the newest Spider-Man movie, which is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And I am pretty excited about this, mostly because it surprised me, which I'll get into a little bit. But right now, I just want to say it's in theaters. It came out recently. I believe as we record this, it is opening weekend.
Oh, nice. Yes. And
I was very excited because when I went to opening weekend, there were a lot of people there. It was definitely a lively crowd. I could tell that I was amongst a lot of Spider-Man fans.
Nice.
So I knew that it was going to be fun. People would get the jokes and whatnot.
Was it like, were there a lot of kids? I didn't go see it just so everyone knows. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Was there a lot of children there?
There weren't as many as I expected. I'd live in kind of like a college town, and so I feel like kids weren't out at that time. It was also like 9 at night, you know?
Oh, okay, there you go.
So I feel like there weren't going to be a lot of kids for that. But it was really a packed theater. I would say the youngest was probably like high school, middle school age.
Oh, okay,
so not
yeah.
like elementary. Mm-hmm. But it is rated PG, and it is directed by Bob Persichetti. Peter Ramsey, Rodney Rothman, and the story is by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. And Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are the creative minds behind the Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street. So they're familiar with comedy, and I would say like raunchy comedy kind of for 21 Jump Street, but then also like kids comedy for the Lego Movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I also loved the Lego Movie, so I feel like it's like all good company in there.
Yeah.
Also, this is a Marvel film, but it's also Columbia, Sony, and of course, like the Marvel Animation Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an animated movie, which again, I would say is like, oh, it's an animated movie. And if someone just told me that, I wouldn't be excited.
Right.
But having seen the trailers, I really liked the art style. So that made me more excited mm-hmm. because I am not like, I don't need another Spider-Man movie.
Right.
I'm not a big... like Spider-Man fan in the first place. I'm not like a comic nerd.
Oh, so many Marvel people are going to come at you for that.
I know. Spider-Man is super popular.
Right.
And I understand why he is. And we have talked about Spider-Man Homecoming on this mm-hmm. podcast. And I really enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right. Yeah, you did.
And I really, so I like Spider-Man, but it's just, you know, I don't need another
There's
one.
Like 15 different Spider-Man movies out though. That's
right.
why.
Right.
So.
And I think in a way this almost sort of poked fun at that. Maybe not directly,
okay.
but I would say I felt that in this movie, which I will also mention later.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good twist. I was afraid that it was just going to be another Spider-Man of like, yes, he gets bitten by a radioactive spider. And then, you know, he gets spider powers and he goes around trying to save the city.
Right.
You
same
know, friendly
old, same
neighborhood
old.
Spider-Man.
Right.
I didn't just want that again. And I feel like this gave it a good twist.
Oh, good.
Also, because it's animated, I would say I had been so used to the live action Marvel films. So mm-hmm. this was actually a nice break. And it gave them a little bit more more ways to be creative visually.
I'm going to have to go. So is it like cartoon styles? Like, you're younger than me, so I don't want to say like my age because you probably wouldn't get it. But like the new cartoon styles now, watching those Spider-Mans, I'm like, ugh, they ruined it because I don't even want to watch it no more. Like the whole outfit is different.
Mm.
The storyline, they just kind of go off. But I liked the ones... like in the late 90s, those kind of like, or mid to late 90s kind of cartoon style. Because you see like the cartoony features in mm-hmm. it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like this high-tech stuff.
Right. I would say this is definitely more of a contemporary drawing style.
Okay.
I believe that it is a mixture of like hand drawn and then also like computer done.
Right.
But you definitely feel, I would say there's never a moment where I felt like, oh, this is hand drawn. You know, like if you watch, in Japanese animation, if you watch like a Miyazaki film, like Spirited Away or My Neighbor Totoro, I feel like when I watch those films, I can see that it's hand done. Mm-hmm. Like I see the line of a hand, right. You know, in this film, I did not feel that.
Okay.
But I didn't think that was bad because I do think sometimes I don't like cartoons that are on TV right now. It's almost, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like everything's like sort of rounded and shiny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And like, which is them trying to be more lifelike and 3D as mm-hmm. opposed to just flat and 2D.
Right, exactly.
And I felt like that didn't occur too much in this movie where I felt it was obnoxious.
Oh, good.
I feel like it was good. It's just like a contemporary art style, animation style, I guess. But yeah, I didn't think it was super annoying.
I'm glad I'm going to have
to see it. So I was really glad about that.
Yeah.
But just to give really quickly, this is about Miles Morales, who becomes the Spider-Man of his world. And you actually do, this is after because in his world, there is a Spider-Man, there is Peter Parker, and then events unfold and then Miles Morales becomes Spider-Man and that's in his world. But then his world crosses paths with other Spider-Mans from other worlds and other dimensions, and they all have to work together to stop a threat.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty cool. It's like a cross-dimensional Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Hence the Spider-Verse.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like Miles as Spider-Man, and then uh-huh. you get other Spider-Man. You get like Gwen, who is Spider-Gwen, and she comes from her reality to Miles.
Wow.
And it's pretty
okay.
interesting in that sense.
That would make it interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a whole like different universes combined kind of.
The whole Spider-Verse coming together.
Hence the name. I did not click that together.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry,
so
guys.
That was pretty cool. And I really enjoyed that. And I think that's why I said it almost made fun of the idea, because it's like there are what, like five Spider-Mans?
Yeah.
Or like there are more than those. There are a lot of Spider-Mans. Mm-hmm. And it's just like funny to have them get like, oh, it's Spider-Ham, who's literally like, he looks like Porky the Pig, but who's a Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
Which when I saw the trailer, I was like, that's going to be really obnoxious.
Yeah.
And thankfully they didn't put him in too much because I would have been like, this is not Looney Tunes.
Right. Oh, good.
But there is Spider-Gwen. And she comes in. There is Peter Parker, but it's like a different dimension Peter Parker.
Okay.
So that's interesting. There's like a noir Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
which I will mention later some of the voice acting, but there's like Spider-Man Noir, who's voiced by Nicolas Cage, who is great. Miles Morales is voiced by Shamik Moore. There's Peter Parker, who is from like the other dimension, not Miles' dimension, mm-hmm. and that is voiced by Jake Johnson. There's Gwen Stacy, who is, I said, Spider-Gwen, and that's voiced by Hailee Steinfeld. You just get like...
they had a lot.
They had a lot. Spider-Ham that I mentioned is voiced by John Mulaney. I really enjoyed this. Like Aunt May is voiced by Lily Tomlin.
I love Lily Tomlin.
She was great. Aunt May was wonderful. This is my favorite rendition of Aunt May, and I liked her in Homecoming as Marissa Tomei, but
yeah.
This was also great. Aunt May was wonderful. So I really enjoyed all of that. The voice acting, I almost feel like voice acting is getting better nowadays.
Yeah.
Maybe I just realize it. Maybe I'm just like paying attention to it more,
mm-hmm.
but I really noticed it in this film. I thought the voice acting was great. John Mulaney was great as a pig who is Spider-Man,
yeah.
which again, they did not put him in too much, but his voice was so perfect for it. It was strange. Nicolas Cage is perfect for Spider-Man Noir. Like that character was probably my favorite of all the Spider-Mans because it's just like the like dark Spider-Man who's like mysterious, like in the 50s, and it's all black and white. So that character is black and white when everyone else is in color.
I love it.
And he can only see like black and white. There's a scene when he's trying to do a Rubik's Cube and he has no idea what's going on. So that was well done. There's just like scenes because it's noir Spider-Man. He's all like dark and depressed.
Aww.
And it's just like, do you ever just light a match and wait for it to like burn your finger just to feel something?
Yeah.
It's just
okay.
Like lines that are absolutely ridiculous. And I'm like, that's great that it's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, it is.
So I really enjoyed how they mashed all those different Spider-Mans together mm-hmm. with great voice acting talent. I really enjoyed that. Also, I want to touch on the animation just to be a little bit deeper in that. As I said, it is a contemporary animation, but it's not, it doesn't feel too over computer generated.
Yeah.
I would say there is a mix. You feel sort of like the person behind it a little bit more,
okay.
which I appreciate. And it's really, it's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because when they're mixing dimensions, other like colors and other like patterns are coming in to express sort of like the mixing of dimensions.
Okay.
And some of their character rendering is great. Like the villain Kingpin, they make him look just ridiculously big. And I loved that. It was very well done because that character is very big and bulky, but yeah, they just made him very humorous. He just looks like he's like a boulder.
Oh,
like
nice.
On little legs.
Oh,
it's okay. Just like, he looks like a doorstop. Like I would like trip on him.
Huh,
like,
okay.
Which I thought was really fun.
With legs.
Yeah.
I can't get over that.
It was spectacular. I would say also, because there's the dimensions, visuals are shifting. So they go between styles and like also colors. So there's like, they have like a dot effect sometimes, which is like reminiscent of like classic comic books. There's like psychedelic and like abstract and just all the different ways that they mix colors mm-hmm. to show just the mashing of the different worlds is really great. It really adds visual emphasis to the idea of multiple worlds coming together. And as I said, it is a bit of a mix of hand-drawn and digital animation. It's kind of like watching it is like sort of at times watching in like an art house film, kind of like blended with like Pixar, but then of course with Marvel characters.
Right, yeah.
So it's really interesting to see. I will guess that other studios will try and copy this later on.
Just to have the multiple different kind of versions.
Like different styles. Yeah, it's sort of like in the movie Ratatouille,
yeah.
there's a scene when like Remy the Rat eats like a piece of cheese or
yeah.
something and he's describing it and you see like all the animation pop up in his
head.
And it's like jazz music and it's like different styles come mm-hmm. in and the style is a little bit different from what like Remy and all the rats look
sure.
like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like it's used
like
to
that.
Represent other things.
Yeah.
And that I felt was very artistic and very well done.
Yeah.
It definitely added interest. So I appreciated that. I would say good job on Marvel Animation Studios.
That's good marketing too.
Yeah, it was great. And like even just the trailer, watching that kind of animation in the trailer made mm-hmm. me like, oh, I definitely have to watch this film.
Yeah.
So they did a really good job on drawing me in. We're about to take a break, but before we go, I just want to mention a great deal. So Christmas is coming up. And I just think that it's a great idea to get yourself something as well, not just for the ones around you. So if you want to get into Audible, it's a great opportunity to listen to books when you don't have time to sit down and read. And right now, there's a great deal going on. You can start a 30-day trial, and on that trial, your first audiobook is free. To get this deal, go to audible.com/GSMCmovie or text GSMCmovie to 500-500. And you can do this with so many different audiobooks. There's mystery, just like fiction, so many great things that you get to listen to. And I just think it'd be a great gift for Christmas. So we're about to take a break and then we'll come back and keep talking about more movies.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC podcast. We are continuing to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the newest Spider-Man movie that is out in theaters right now. Also, I would say this is kind of just in time for Christmas because it's PG, so you could take your family.
Yeah.
Take everyone.
I thought you were going to say it's like a little Christmassy in some of it, but it's when you said it's for the family, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense because duh.
Yeah, I mean, there's like snow in a scene.
I don't think that counts because
no,
it could
no.
be like February and
right.
snowing
yeah.
somewhere.
It could be a Valentine's Day movie.
Exactly.
We don't know. Yeah. As I was saying before the break, the animation is great. And I think that will be something that other studios copy. But when I'm talking about Christmas, I think they really came out with this movie at the right time, mm-hmm. because it is a movie that, like, people are coming home for the holidays, and if you want to get out of the house, it's something that you can all do together, because it is a PG rating, and I think they did that well. There's no swearing, you know, like, it's all in the rating, but it's still very entertaining, even for me as someone who doesn't, I don't go out of my way to see kids' movies, right. necessarily, but I still thoroughly enjoyed it. It really exceeded my expectations. It was funny. It was heartwarming. It had action and, like, thrills, but again, PG level. Mm-hmm. It also had a really good soundtrack, which I listened a little bit to just separate from the movie, like, listened to the album. And I would say I probably enjoyed them more as a soundtrack in the movie, like when they're cut into certain scenes,
yeah.
than just as an album. Because there are certain films, like the Black Panther soundtrack, I thoroughly enjoy just as a soundtrack, right, like, right. as an album. Mm-hmm. This is not quite there for me, but I'm sure some people will really love it.
Right.
I mean, if you like Post Malone, he has a song in it.
That was, like, one of my friends on social media yeah. who said that they liked it. They were like, the soundtrack by itself is amazing. I was like, yeah. really? What songs are
it? It is really good. I think I really enjoyed it in the movie, and it's uh-huh. not a bad soundtrack, but it's not something you would just throw on in the car and drive to. But it is good. It's enjoyable. I think some people will really love it. My boyfriend said part of the reason he wanted to go was for the music.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, well, it must be good. And it was really good. I really enjoyed that. Also, I just think it's a great way to bring into more popular culture the newest Spider-Man, mm-hmm. who is, as I said, Miles Morales. And I'll talk about him in a little bit, but he's, like, the newest Spider-Man after Peter Parker. And I really think that he's a great new Spider-Man, and this is a great way to introduce an audience to him that doesn't, like, he's in the comics, mm-hmm. but this is a great way to bring him to more popular culture, because we all think of Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
Right, exactly.
So I think this is a good intro for him. Also, in relation to the many Spider-Mans, I would say you don't really have to be a huge, like, you don't have to be a comic book nerd. I don't think you have to be a huge Spider-Man person. Like, I enjoy a Marvel film. I enjoy some of the more nerdy stuff, the superheroes.
Yeah.
But I'm not super well versed in everything, but I still thoroughly enjoyed the film.
Okay.
But there are some, like, Easter eggs that I think if you're really into Spider-Man, you'll enjoy more.
Okay.
Like, there are some references to scenes. For instance, I learned this later to be a classic scene from the, who was the original Spider-Man in the older movies?
Yeah,
Maguire?
Maguire.
Tobey Maguire?
There you go.
Is that him?
I think he was the first one. When they started doing like the actual, like, live versions.
Yes, and so I would say the ones, like, most people are familiar with is, like, the first, like, big Hollywood mm-hmm. Spider-Man movies. There's, like, in the one of the Tobey Maguire films, he's, like, walking down the street, like, to jazz music, basically doing, like, really bad, like, finger guns and, like, just embarrassing himself.
Right. And that's kind of where they kind of transitioned him to just, like, the dark, like,
yes.
kind of
when
side.
He's, like, the dark Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They reference that scene in this movie,
oh, gosh.
Which is pretty funny. And I actually have not seen the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
It's not that great.
Right. I mean,
have you seen any of the ones after that? Those, his don't compare. It's ridiculous. It's just like,
just
why
to
would
see
you...
young James Franco. I don't know.
Yeah. And even then, it's just like, I like Franco in other movies. Because it's whatever.
Yeah, because he's not the Green Goblin. So they like reference like that movie. They reference some other Spider-Man things, which I think if you're more into like the Marvel universe, mm-hmm. you might find a little bit funnier. If you're more into Spider-Man and comics,
okay.
you'll probably be more in tune to.
That would be my brother-in-law.
Yeah, right. There are just some people, you know, like my boyfriend was like, you don't know that scene? And then we had to watch it afterwards. It's like, okay, oh, I get it.
Did he YouTube it for you?
He did. He was like on his phone. Like we were walking out of the theater. I'm like, I just was in a movie after like using the bathroom,
right.
like, you know, I need some water.
No, watch
He's
this.
Like, no, we have to watch this. I'm like, all right, whatever.
It's not that serious.
Yeah. Okay, it's fine. But like for people who were like in that situation, you will recognize scenes like the walking down the street to jazz music. You will get that. And I think it'll be funnier for you, but you don't have to. Like, that's also why I think you can take the families, because even if you're not super into comics, I think you'll still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Also, I want to mention before I move on, this movie is doing really well. Opening weekend, it did great. It actually has a 97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
I just like looking into this, even just a quick Google search, I feel like people love it so far.
Yeah.
Again, it is still early, so that's probably why you're getting the big hype.
Yeah.
But it's great. I believe it has the highest grossing like opening for the month of December for like any animated film.
Oh, wow.
Which
Go
is
ahead.
Amazing because December is like Christmas animated
films. I know.
Films.
Everything animated comes out in December.
So it's doing really well. So good for them.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I think it's well deserved.
Exactly. There you go.
Also, I want to move on to talk about Miles, who is the newest Spider-Man, as I said. And he, like, in this movie, you really get, as the new Spider-Man, what it means for him to be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, the classic Spider-Man line of, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, what does that mean to Miles? You know, he's a 13-year-old kid. He grew up in Brooklyn. And it's kind of like, how do his circumstance influence him as a Spider-Man? And how does that differentiate him from Peter Parker as Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed seeing just, like, the changes and how he carries it and how his circumstances influence him as a superhero.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Basically. And he's like a 13-year-old kid. And you really get a sense of how he's an awkward kid, kind of like how Peter Parker always was. Kind of nerdy, but I feel like Peter Parker was nerdier.
Okay.
he's a little cooler, I would say. So good for him.
Right. There you go, Miles.
He has a mom and a dad. They don't really say. His mom looks like she's like a nurse or a doctor. Uh-huh. And his dad is a police officer.
Oh, okay.
I believe his mom is Puerto Rican.
African-American father and Puerto Rican mother.
Yes, yes. And again, that is very different, obviously, from Peter Parker. And it's just like a more updated version, more modern version of like who Spider-Man is and how that represents the people that he works to, you know, protect. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. What neighborhood is he protecting?
Right. Well, the one he grew up in.
Yeah, right. And so I think that I just love how they updated it. And the creators of Miles Morales said that they were influenced by Barack Obama and Donald Glover. Because apparently they were creating Miles Morales, it was right around when, I believe it was when Obama was like running for president, I believe, or he was about to become elected.
Oh, okay.
And so basically they were like, we're at the precipice of this new like era in a way, you know, it's like America's first African-American president. Like, how do we make Marvel and how do we make Spider-Man reflect the current times and basically make him contemporary?
Sure.
So they were thinking of that. And then they also thought of like how Donald Glover looks like in their influence of Miles Morales, because apparently in Community, there's an episode where Donald Glover wears like Spider-Man PJs, and they like saw that, the creators like saw that and like, oh yeah, we'll base him off of Donald Glover's like kind of in his appearance, which is kind of funny. I didn't really see that until I read about that, but you know, if you want that trivia.
Yeah.
also, I would say in terms of like the Spider-Man universe, this movie does like, it plays with someone like the canon, you know, like Spider-Ham, Spider-Man Noir, like Spider-Gwen, like you get to play with that a little bit. And it plays with that in like how everyone becomes Spider-Man, because there are so many Spider-Man characters in this film.
Right.
They're like, when they're all explaining how they got to Miles Morales' universe, they're like, oh, well, it all started when I was bitten by a radioactive spider. And like every single Spider-Man like starts their story that way, because that's how you become Spider-Man.
Right, exactly.
And then you get superhuman spider powers, and then you have to protect your universe. And there are just different Spider-Mans and how they do that. But it's just funny because they're like, it's kind of like irreverent in that way. Like, it's making fun of how repetitive superhero movies can be and how we all know Spider-Man.
Especially, you know, like, we the all Spider-Man,
know
yeah.
Batman, you know, like we all know like Superman. Right. Like, we know those origin stories. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they make fun of it in that way.
That's
which I really
awesome.
Enjoy. So I really enjoyed how they made fun of that. I enjoyed how they updated Spider-Man. So I think that was a really good idea.
Right.
And also, Stan Lee makes a cameo.
Does he?
Yes, he does. And it's great.
I was going to ask about that.
Yes, he does. So if you're wondering, wait for it. It's there. Also, there is a great, like, kind of like a villain surprise, like a little reveal.
Like
a character that you're not expecting to be a villain becomes a villain.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you have scenes like that. And then I'm going to take a quick break. But before we do, I just want to mention a great deal that is coming up on Audible. You can get this right now. It's a gift for yourself. And if you need this in the Christmas season, you're busy all the time, you're on the go, it's a great way to read sort of without the reading. Read with the listening. so if you want to, you can start a 30-day trial. Your first audiobook is free. And you can go to audible.com/GSMCMovie or text GSMCMovie to 500-500. And you can get your free audiobook. They have so many different options, and I think it's a great opportunity for the Christmas season and for beyond. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back and keep talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I want to finish up talking about Miles Morales before we go on to some of the other great characters in this film. But as I mentioned earlier in the episode, Miles is born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. He is 13. He has an African-American father and Puerto Rican mother. He has been in the Spider-Man universe before in the comics, and as I said, this is his first like big screen debut. Mm-hmm. He, in a way, his struggles are similar to like Peter Parker, for example. Like, he still has to learn how to become Spider-Man. Like, how does he use the power? Like, what does he do with his power? How does he protect people? But he has struggles that are individual to him. For instance, he kind of struggles like with his family. His father is a cop. Okay. And the classic, the cops don't like Spider-Man.
Right.
So like, because Spider-Man's a vigilante and Spider-Man takes mm-hmm. crime into his own hands, which is not according to the system of law and order, like what cops do.
So he kind of has to like hide it from his dad. Mm-hmm. Does his dad ever like talk about the horrible Spider-Man that he has to clean up messes?
Yes. In classic Spider-Man fashion, you always get a cop who's like, Spider-Man just going around,
right,
you know, doing whatever he wants. Yeah.
And that's his dad. Oh,
yeah. That's his dad. So that is pretty funny. And like, also with the struggle between being Spider-Man and your father being a cop, he also has to deal with some of the other ways that his father kind of expresses love for him. Mm-hmm. Miles goes to a different school that's not in the neighborhood that he lives in. He kind of like qualifies to go to this fancier like prep school.
Okay.
So he fights with his father because he doesn't really want to do that. He wants to go to the school in his neighborhood, but his dad's like, no, this is a really good opportunity for you. Right. You'll appreciate what I'm doing for you later. Kind of like the tough love.
Yeah, no kids understand what that's about. None. I swear, they're just like, oh, all my friends go here. Yes. You're like, so yes. What? Like, I'm looking out for your opportunities.
Yeah, and they that's basically care. What he feels. And so he has to deal with his father in that way.
Yeah.
And then Miles has an uncle that he kind of connects with more, who's kind of like a graffiti artist.
Okay.
And he's like the cool uncle, mm-hmm. you know.
There's always one.
There's always one. So this is his cool uncle.
Yeah.
And he has to go kind of like, he loves his father and wants to obey him, but then he kind of wants to go hang out with his uncle, who's a bit more into like the crime than his dad, you know. So like the struggle between that. And also he likes tagging buildings, you know.
Oh, no.
Like, he's a little on the edge of...
Is he good at it, though?
He is, because he had his uncle like teach him.
Okay.
So they go to like different walls and they'll like, you know, spray paint on there. And
he's like Spider-Man, so he can just crawl to any of them. Huh? Just be like, I'll get it at the very top right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he's like, as I keep saying, I feel like he's just like contemporary Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is really cool. I'm really glad they put that into his character. Also, you get like, because he has the father thing, and then he also has his uncle who's cool but kind of rebellious, you get like the search for guidance in who like guides him in his life. But he's like ultimately a good kid, you know. Aww. He also has to face his own fears. He has like teenage issues, like Peter Parker always does.
Yeah,
you know, he likes a girl and he's kind of made fun of at school. He's not very popular.
Yeah,
you know, that type of thing.
Those
going
are like
on.
Normal teenage issues now, but Peter Parker had those issues as a college student. So it was like weird. I'm just all like, what happened to the times?
Oh,
what's going on?
Peter.
I know.
That's awkwardly, like extra bad.
Yeah, in college having these struggles.
Yeah.
Late
Thankfully,
bloomer.
Yeah, seriously. Thankfully, this happens like when Miles is, you know, he's like 13. So yeah, it makes more sense.
Exactly.
So we don't have to deal with that awkwardness if we know Tobey Maguire is like college age.
Yeah, except he like looked 30. Like he was 30. And yeah. Yeah, it's yeah like, he definitely did.
So horrible. We don't have to adjust our brains to accept him as young. And also he just has to like deal with social situations plus becoming Spider-Man. Plus like just the responsibility. Early on you see that basically Spider-Man passes from Peter Parker to Miles and how he deals with the passing of the torch and his responsibility for that. I interpreted that as he feels responsible for some of the things that happened to Peter Parker.
Oh, okay.
And how he's going to ever live up to that. You know, so he has those expectations as well.
So how does like Peter Parker cope with it not being Spider-Man anymore? Does it touch on that?
No.
Okay, well, you know, you're done. Bye.
In Miles's world, well, you'll see. I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
But he becomes Spider-Man and he has to deal with the responsibility of that.
Right, okay.
But then there's also another Peter Parker. There's like two Peter Parkers.
Okay.
Because there's the Peter Parker in Miles's universe and then there's the other one in the other universe. And when all the Spider-Mans come together.
Okay.
Yeah. So when they all meet in Miles's universe, there's the other Peter Parker, which is actually who I want to talk about next.
Okay.
Because basically Marvel made it where Peter Parker grows up. So nice, when you see this Peter Parker in Miles' universe, he's older and he's kind of let himself go, you know, because there are a lot of responsibilities as Spider-Man. Yeah. It's tough. And he has to deal with his relationship with Mary Jane in his universe. Uh-huh. And Peter has his own struggles. You know, he doesn't like he likes being Spider-Man, but he can't deal with like the real world villains that are his own personal demons, you know? And like, he kind of gets this point where he's like, I don't know, Mary Jane wanted to have kids and I don't know if I wanted to have kids. And it's like, why would Spider-Man have this issue?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They let Spider-Man have these like adult problems that aren't just like people at school make fun of me.
Right.
Like he became an adult.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally. College. I'm glad they finally let him grow up.
Right.
So I really enjoyed seeing that. And he's very funny. I would say, that Peter Parker is the funniest character in the film.
That's good.
So I really enjoyed that. Also, there is a Spider-Man character that I forgot to mention that comes into Miles' universe, and that is Penny Parker, who's voiced by Kimiko Glenn. And Penny Parker is very cute. She's like in the more anime style, and it's like her universe is the future, like New York. So she like controls a robot spider, like a robot Spider-Man that does
her
bidding.
That is so crazy.
It's pretty cool.
So she just like thinks it and the spider does it.
She like it's like a robot suit she's inside.
Oh, okay.
She's like a hacker,
okay,
kind
yeah
of. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So I really enjoyed the Spider-Man film. As I said before, you don't have to be a super big Spider-Man nerd to enjoy this film. You will enjoy it. Oh, also there are two post credits. Is there other two? Oh, I can't remember now. But there are post-credit scenes. You should definitely stay. If you are into the Spider-Man nerdy stuff, or if you're just kind of an internet person, you know, you like memes,
okay,
you will enjoy the post-credits scene. It's very funny. I really enjoyed it, even though I wouldn't say I'm not hugely into that. I'm
right
just aware of its existence.
There's always a post-credits
yeah
scene with Marvel or anything superhero.
Exactly. No one gets up in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You stay until the end, and if you're one of those people that leaves, you're missing out.
Because exactly. And then you're going to have to hear about it on the internet
yeah
later.
And then you're like, oh, I didn't see that. And now you have to go watch it again or just wait until it comes out on theater.
Like on YouTube. And
yeah.
Yeah. So stay for the post-credit scene. It's very funny. Yeah, I would say go see this movie. If you like superheroes, even if you don't like superheroes, I think you will enjoy at least the art style or the soundtrack.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sad I didn't
film
go see it.
I know.
No,
all right, you got to go. Take your family.
I will. I have children.
Yeah, whatever. It'll be good for them. It's
yes
PG. So I think there's something for everyone, kids and adults.
Okay, yeah, I'll go.
Highly recommend. So thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you tune in to our next podcast episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.